keeping you up to date with all the latest SEO and web development news. Little flavor added in.
Well, now let's have a little
bit. Detroit style. The Trademark Productions weekly podcast radio show coming live from Detroit.
Well, actually, Royal Oak. No one really lives in Detroit anymore.
All right, Trademark Productions podcast. It's prettier. We always kind of do a weather update.
Yeah,
at the beginning of every weather. And so, Detroit's pretty today.
It is. It's going to be, I've seen anywhere between 49 and 55 degrees.
That's pretty hot.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's going to cool down the next week or so, but I looked at the weather this morning, and starting next weekend, it's supposed to go back up to the 50s, and hopefully winter will be gone. Not that we had much of a winter, but...
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, I would like to wear some shorts.
Yeah, I'd be kind of huge for that.
I'm done with this cold, windy weather.
Yeah. So, a lot of things have been going on, and we've had an insurgence, particularly one of our customers is in a huge shopping, online buying season right now, and they acquired a lot to do with paid search and the setup of campaigns, and that might be a future podcast about some pros and cons with modifiers and very specific campaigns, geo-specific, but... a lot of things I've been focusing on my time this week with, but Panda update, and then the latest one, and
yeah.
That came into quite the play because this particular customer has a number of e-com sites, all in the same type of a vertical, all branded differently, and looking at the evolution, they just purchased a new company that is a offshoot of their category. I don't want to say who they are or what they are, but an offshoot of their category. So let's say if they were selling garden tools, they may have some sites that sell shovels and then some other sites that sell seeds. So it's all about to do with gardening. And they did a complete server move. And maybe that's where we can start, is really to plan out when you are moving a site, especially before critical times in your commerce, in your commerce calendar, that you really need to be considerate of all the steps you need to take to make sure everything was working. Because when they were sitting here in the office earlier this week, they were talking about the fact that certain sales goals were not being met. And what I thought was really funny is while we were sitting there talking and talking to this other gentleman who was on a conference call from across the country about sales being down over 64% in a particular category, I'm on the site trying to purchase something and I can't check out. So I basically could fill up my cart. I could fill up the entire order, my credit card information and everything else, but I could not proceed beyond that point.
And is that because something was messed up along the line?
Along the line with the server transfer. And so I estimate that that was a recourse that happened maybe for the past 30 days. Because inadvertently they've had little orders that have come in here and there and they couldn't have any rhyme or reason why. And so now we're trying to match it up against server logs for error logs for the Apache and then for MySQL to determine when there were issues to try to make some guesstimated decisions. But since we've identified that, they haven't had any issues with orders.
Gotcha.
So it's like, oh boy, what a huge one to miss. And when you're talking of, you know, doing tens of thousands of dollars of commerce a day, that's a huge deal.
Yeah.
Especially when you have costs against it.
Well, and it's like with anything involving, you know, building a new website or moving to a new server, you have to have a checklist. I mean, that is absolutely key. I mean, I know with every process I do here, there's a checklist. Did I do this, 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 A, B, and C? Because if you miss B, C is not going to work correctly.
Yep.
You know, so you always have to make sure you're in line with that process. And that process should be, you know, in a document somewhere that you can always refer to. And that can make a world of difference when it comes to stuff like this.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So talk about Panda a little bit, because that was one of the conversations we had, is we try to at least annotate as much as possible that's happening with an account in analytics and looking at all the different various Panda updates, but then also things that we've been doing proactively or reactively to combat components to it or based off of suggestions, SERP changes, things, traffic, sales, things like that. So the latest... I have been tired, man.
I understand.
The latest Panda update has been rolling out, was confirmed earlier this week.
Yeah.
And what is that consisting of?
Well, it's kind of funny because Panda 3.0, which was released in October of 2011, kind of was completely under the radar. Google didn't say anything, and they said it was a really minor update, but it was actually pretty huge. A lot of changes were happening. People were seeing their sites ranking, you know, in below the top 50 when they were previously in the top 10, stuff like that. But the last three updates, 3.1, 3.2, and 3.3, were all data refreshes, is what Google was saying. So it just seems like they're making sure, you know, they're just refreshing the data to make sure that everything is still working correctly and fixing any bugs along the way. But, I mean, to be honest, I hadn't learned a whole lot about Panda until the last week or so. And we have a Panda blog post that encompasses all Panda updates, you know, starting from February 24th, 2011, when it was released, through February 27th.
Basically, outlining all the different components,
yeah.
Each update, what they consisted of and why and what you may potentially need to look at.
Exactly.
Blah, blah, blah.
And it's interesting. I didn't know a whole lot about, I mean, I knew the basics of SEO before I came to TM, but I didn't know a lot of the inner workings like content farms, you know, and scraper sites and stuff like that. I didn't know much about that. And it's kind of refreshing to see Google fight against people cheating the system. Because they weren't for a long time. And now, you know, if you produce high quality content, you're going to, you know, the chances of being ranked are much higher than they were in the past, just because you're not just keyword packing anymore. You're not listing 80 keywords on the bottom of your site, you know, under your bottom navigation or something like that. And it just continues to put emphasis on quality of content, quality of your metadata, quality of your updates, you know, making sure you're updating relatively regularly. Because if you're not ranking, you're not going to see any results or see any traffic, obviously, because a lot of traffic comes straight from Google.
Yeah. So the past, you know, another thing that I'm closely watching is everybody's speculation with dealing with linking schematics, mm-hmm. linking structures for this past Panda update, because they did openly come out and say that there was some linking components that they have modified.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to know exactly what it is. I mean, that's just the kind of bullshit we deal with Google.
Yeah.
With they tell us what we want, well, what they think we need to know, and it's suggestive in answers, but it's never conclusive.
Yeah, they in the search engine land in their Panda 3.3 update article said that Google changed the way certain links are evaluated in Google, but it seemed like it was disconnected from Panda, like it was a separate update to their algorithm.
It could have been finally pushing out and pulling together in the main algorithm from previous Panda updates.
Yeah, so, I mean, like
they could be all sitting back there and just honestly just fucking laughing about the fact that they're theorizing all this shit.
Yeah.
They might get a pizza and a couple pictures of beer and talk about how they're going to lay out these things over time and see how everybody reacts to it. It could just be all big joke.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting. And like I said, it the last couple of updates, Google has stated that they're minor, but they haven't been as minor as Google stated, because I can't remember which update it was, but they called it a minor update, but it drastically changed the rankings of certain sites. Like, for example, the tech blog, The Next Web, after I want to say it was Google 2.0 or Panda 2.4 or 2.5, I can't remember which, The Next Web saw its rankings drop and their traffic from Google just plummet. Same with the Today Show website, and there was another one, but YouTube and AOL.com, obviously YouTube's owned by Google, AOL is an affiliate of Google now, or with Google.
They have been.
Yeah. Their traffic and their search rankings skyrocketed. So Google is changing things, you know, to make a better internet, quote unquote, and they're helping themselves along the way, which, yeah. I mean, you can't blame them, but at the same time, you know.
Never no fun.
Yeah.
So I think one of the things I was going to talk about is interesting article that clearly outlined. It gives you some great ideas for publishing content to your site that is also going to be highly linkable from external sources, because it's the kind of stuff. So we talk about top 10 lists, tip sheets, white papers, infographics.
How to's.
Yeah, how to's falls completely in line. And so Search Engine Land, this is David D'Souza. I actually wrote this back on the 29th. And really, really good article. So good job. And we'll link out over to it. Mm-hmm. But they're talking about the fact that governments out there, nonprofits, organizations, always do a lot of either a census or they do studies. They gather a lot of different types of data that's publicly available.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to go find it and do something with it. So they're just saying that basically there's a huge amount of data sets that are available out there, and a lot of them are open data initiatives. There's more than he's estimating over 400,000 data sets that are available basically out here in the United States alone. So our governments, both here and abroad, encourage for their data to be used for different apps or web-based initiatives as well. So if you produce something that is very, very useful, or you aggregate their data and display it in such a way or tie it together with an app, there's a good chance that you could get a .gov.uk type of a link over to your initiative.
That would be good.
Yeah, so that could really be a, if you take it from an advertising or marketing standpoint, if you're going to put a budget towards something, you have a good opportunity to actually yield back, and you're essentially buying a link, but the cost of it's going to be, you know, really, really worthwhile.
Yeah.
But public data, they're talking about, let me just go through some of these things on here. USA.gov, FedStats.gov, American Fact Finder, SearchSystem.net. And you can shop for a lot of different data through departments. They're talking about the UK government has a website that provides one stop for their data for various governmental departments and countries. Tableau Public offers a comprehensive list of hundreds of free data sets, which are updated monthly. So business model, they talk about data sources for graphically ranked by data, quality, relevance, ease of download, and compatibility. So it's really, really cool stuff. So let's say you wanted to put together an idea. Let's say it's going to be a quiz mm-hmm. or an iPhone app. That is going to be a quiz. You could talk about data streaming from states or from particular age groups on different types of studies that have happened. So here's some eye-catching apps that they identified, like a tool to find on-time flights, or it could be a crime map quiz based off of data that's being reported of where's the most populated crimes, or it could be quizzes in the city of Detroit. What in the last quarter of 2011 within Wayne County in the downtown area, what was the most popular crime that was committed?
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, so it's kind of like take a guess, get the real answer. Another thing too, fuel. Gas prices, that's a huge thing right now. There's a number of sites out there that track and augmentate that information. But if you're getting it from centralized searches that are government created, you could create a fuel chart.
Yeah.
And start to talk about weekly updates and even get an RSS or a newsletter feed. And if you're keeping that data up to date, parsing it and redisplaying it in your app or your site or whatever it is, or a beautiful infographic mm-hmm. over the past 3 years or since Obama's been in administration, how much money has the gas companies made and how much cost has increased on the price of fuel?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful infographic people would love to link to.
I paid the most I've ever paid for gas my entire life this morning. I paid $3.97 for a regular unleaded, like, you know, the lowest grade.
Yeah.
$3.97.
Well, on his story, he talks about that the Find On-Time Flights, the app itself received a .gov link, but also got a link from the WhiteHouse.gov.
Oh, that's huge.
That's super huge, super huge. So try to think of an idea that could be cross-marketed. An interactive chart which highlights the tax on gas could be an interest to both car enthusiasts, but also for tax-related websites and publications. It might be something to do now with tax time about how to appropriate mileage to deduct from someone that's a long haul truck driver
mm-hmm.
type of a thing. You could also have little widgets or that information that's data set within your site. You could go create some JavaScript and make it very easy for people to share that and then include a link back in that as well to put it back at your site. So it's kind of taking in and being authoritative about it, but notify the data sources that you're doing this. Let them know how you're aggregating that information and make sure whoever's responding that you're kind of filling in with their compliance of what they do or don't want you to do, and see if they can list you and that they do like it, that they, you know, that it comes back to you and you actually do get an awesome fat backlink. Issue a press release. Let people know out there. Talk to journalists. Talk to bloggers, newspaper, radio stations. If it's timely enough, like gas prices is a huge thing right now. That's great.
And that's never going to go away.
No, no.
Well, at least not in the next 6 to 8 months.
Not at all.
The election.
No. So there's just so much data out there. It's just really up to your imagination what you can do with it. We've done that with some of our customers. That's definitely got them some really good backlinks. But it's also been reshared and reutilized by higher ed and higher publications in their industry, so it points to them as an authority source. So it's got a branding component. So that's all about publishing content for your website that you need to be doing. And you could socially share that as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think if if you're doing something regarding, let's say age statistics, how much, what age group is using Facebook in a certain way or Twitter in a certain way, you could flat out just put a headline, did you know blank percentage of, demographic X, and you're going to get so many people to bring that in.
You could really skew that data too and make some funny shit. Like, let's just talk about the amount of seniors in 2011 that started using Facebook, how they, because of their slow reaction and use of a computer and a web, definitely clogged internet pipelines. And during this time, on average, the age between X and X are on an average of 6 medications that normally contain a substance, and the amount of ibuprofen that's in those 6 pills on average. So during the hours, you could come to the conclusion that this amount of ibuprofen was consumed or is actually medicating this age group in the state of Florida during these. So it's more likely to have drugged seniors on the internet and Facebook during the hours of X and X. You could come up with some really funny shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And doing stuff like that, data mashing that stuff together, which people are going to love. They're going to laugh. They're going to link to it and share it over with other people. So,
yeah, data is nothing without context at all. So if you can take, an interesting context of different data sets and combine them, like you said, people are going to jump on that.
Yeah. I'm going to leave with this too, but it's just some of the things that you can leave around that actually end up being shared as well. Everybody's probably seen a Where's George or Find George stamp on a dollar bill where you can go in and put the numbers in there. So that takes you to the online component. But I was getting gas the other day, and there's a yellow sticky note right next to the credit card slot for the receipt slot, and it said on there, in 2008, when we elected our first black president, gas was $1.76 on average a gallon across the country. How much are you paying today? Make sure to vote this year.
Wow.
And I'm like, and it said there was a website on there. I forget what it was, but I was just like, I read it, and I'm just like, no. As I'm putting $3.70 gas in my vehicle.
Speaking of, did you hear about Newt Gingrich's Newt Gallon campaign?
Newt Gallon?
Yes.
What is that?
If you go to newt.org, his website, or dot. Yeah, I think it's .org. You go to his website and it says donate $2.50 for $2.50 gallon or $2.50 gallon of gas under a Newt Gingrich presidency. So basically, he's saying if you vote for me, I'll get gas back down to $2.50. But he's calling it a Newt gallon. And a friend and I were trying to figure out what a Newt gallon actually is yesterday on Twitter. We were talking about it, and based on percentages, like of $2.50 compared to the current price of gas, that's only 66%. Of an actual gallon. Like, that's what he's saying. Like, I can't remember exactly what we were saying, but it's just like the idea of a Newt gallon, it's not defined in any sort of way. It just costs $2.50. So if you look at the hashtag Newt gallon on Twitter, there's just hundreds of suggestions of what a Newt gallon actually is, and it's backfiring for his campaign big time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because we were comparing it to septic tanks and like all sorts of stuff. People are just basically calling it shit. Like, what is a Newt gallon? He hasn't said anything about it other than on his website, and now people are just running with it and making fun of him.
Well, he's hoping that it's going to go away over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, we were asking for Newt gallons of beer. like, can we get a 250 Newt gallon of beer,
bring
please?
Me a Newt pint.
Yeah, it's just, it's kind of a what started out as an interesting, this could be a good thing for him social media wise. If you search in Twitter Newt gallon, you're gonna find some pretty awful things.
Yeah, people are talking about it.
Yeah, so.
All right, cool. We'll talk to you next week, and hopefully we're gonna have a guest speaker on with us next week talking about some cool social media stuff.
Thank you for listening to Trademark Productions weekly podcast radio show. Remember to submit your questions online at tmprod.com and subscribe to our newsletter and on iTunes. No copying of this can be reproduced without permission. Terms apply. Copyright TM Productions 2011. All rights reserved.